Well, we have been in a series of sermons designed to help equip us, to help equip this church specifically, to be a people who do two things. One, that we stand firm, and two, that we grow into spiritual maturity. And so as we look through Scripture, we find that as God's very special to Him, very holy, very redeemed people, we are called specifically to, first of all, stand firm, as Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. How many of you know that the schemes of the devil are very sinister, they're very wicked, and they're very false? Verse 12 goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to once again stand firm. And secondly, to grow into spiritual maturity. It's one thing to stand firm, to stand solid, to be immovable, but God also wants us to grow and to grow specifically into spiritual maturity. Hebrews chapter 5. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Boy, do we need that in the church today, the discernment between good and evil. Verse 1 of chapter 6 goes on to say, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So we have the foundation of Christ, the elementary teachings of Christ, which is beneficial. We always have those with us. But here, the writer of Hebrews is saying, let's not stay there. Let's move on to spiritual maturity. And so because of these two things, we have chosen to start out 2019 with a series of sermons focusing on some of the very essential spiritual disciplines that are critical to the process of standing firm and growing in spiritual maturity. And I picked five. There's so many that we could have talked about and preached about from God's word, but I picked five, four of which we've already covered, specifically prayer and fasting, Christian fellowship, evangelism and missions. And last week we covered giving and generosity, and today we come to the fifth and final discipline, which is loving and reading God's word, probably one of my favorite topics. And so today we will conclude, Lord willing, with our series through the essential spiritual disciplines. And would you pray with me? Father, your servant Paul said in Colossians that therefore, if we have been raised up with Christ, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, let us continue to seek the things above, to set our minds on those things that are above, not on the things that are on this earth, for we have died, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed with Him in glory. God, I pray that you would take this church, everybody who has assembled here today, including those who are at home. Father, I pray that you would take us and you'd keep our minds set on the things above where Christ is. God, this world is so distracting. And Father, I pray that your written word would become a powerful force in our lives for keeping our minds and hearts set on Christ. And Father, I pray that it would happen even this morning through this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the beginning, God spoke. Amen. And the effects of His word are still being felt around us today. For example, the light of day and the dark of night. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 and 5 through 5 says this, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. God spoke, and there was light. And that light made the distinction between day and night. We also find that God spoke, and all the fruits and vegetables and plants and trees that bear them sprung into existence. Genesis 1:11. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. Again, we find as we move through Genesis chapter 1 that God created all the creatures of the sea and all the birds of the air. In verse 20, God said again, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And once again, God saw that it was good. And we even find that God spoke and mankind came into being. Verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Genesis 1:26 through 27. Aren't you thankful that God has spoken, and we still see the effects of that today? The world around us, although it is sinful, although it is twisted and corrupted and fallen, at the same time, we still see the goodness of God in creation. And that is a good thing. But there's another sense in which God has also spoken to us through his written word. And this written word is contained for us in a book known as the Bible. And in the same way that his spoken word carried with it power and authority, specifically the power and authority to create everything that has been created, so also God's written word carries power and authority. For example, the power and authority to lead to salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul, writing to young Timothy, said, "From childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul was encouraging Timothy, don't forget the sacred writings, the Old Testament scriptures, because they have the wisdom that is able to lead you to salvation and faith in Christ. We also find that God's written word has the power and authority to produce fruit. In a parable that Jesus taught about the soils and the sower, he said this, "The one on whom seed was sown on the good soil," the seed being the word of God, "this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. God's written word produces good fruit. We also find that it has the power and authority to illuminate the darkness in a soul. 2 Peter 1:19, Peter says, "We have the prophetic word, the scriptures, made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." The Holy Spirit working through the written word of God is able to illuminate the darkness in our hearts and give us life. What an amazing thing. And furthermore, Scripture says that this word, this written word, will endure forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. What a great promise that is. You can trust God's word. Not only can you trust God because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but you can trust what he says. He is trustworthy. It will endure and stand forever. But despite the power and the authority of Scripture, along with all of its many, many benefits, throughout history, it hasn't always been treated with the respect it deserves. If we consider the history of God's word among Israel, among the Hebrews, God gave some very specific instruction to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6. God saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The Lord was very, very clear about how he felt about his words and how they should be treated by his people. He says here, "These words of mine, they shall be on your heart. They shall be diligently taught to your children. They shall be talked about when you sit in your house. They shall be talked about when you walk by the way. They shall be talked about when you lie down and when you rise up in the morning. And they shall be symbolically on your head and on your forehead. What you do and what you think are to be governed and guided by the word of God. And they shall be written on the doorposts and the gates of your house." In short, God says, "Oh, Israel, don't forget my word. Treat it with respect. Elevate it to the proper place that it deserves." And I believe this still applies for the church today. And interestingly, while Israel recognized the importance of God's written word, they understood what God said. There was a time that they fell miserably short of the Lord's command and allowed the word to fall into neglect. In fact, it became so neglected at one point in Israel's history that they lost it. Have you ever lost your Bible before? It's a terrible feeling. Well, imagine there is only one Bible and it gets lost. This is what happened during the reign of after the reign of King David, King Solomon. The nation of Judah had fallen into hard times. They had fallen away from God. They had turned to the worship of idols and false gods. They were even sacrificing their own children to these false gods. And to add to their sins, they had lost God's written word. And to make it even worse, they didn't even know it was lost. God's people had misplaced God's word, and they didn't even know it was missing. And I fear, in some ways, that this storyline is being repeated in modern times. But with Israel, along came a king by the name of Josiah. And he was a godly man, he was a righteous man, he chose not to sin in the way that his forefathers had because he feared the Lord God of Israel. And when he came into power, the nation was just a mess, including the temple where God's sacrifices, where God's worship was made. And so he decided to make much needed repairs to update the structure. So they hired workers, they bought supplies. Repairs were started, and since those things cost money, they decided to go into the temple treasury where the money was stored, and this is what happens, 2 Chronicles 34. When they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Hilkiah responded and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Imagine that. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Then Shaphan brought the book to the king and reported further word to the king, saying, "Everything that was entrusted to your servants, they are doing. They have also emptied out the money which was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hands of the supervisors and the workmen. Verse 18, and moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest gave me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. So they're in the middle of making the repairs to the temple, realizing they need some money to pay for these repairs. They go into the temple to bring out the money that is stored in the treasury of the temple. And Hilkiah the priest finds this book. And it happens to be the book of the law of Moses. So the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And he gives it to Shaphan the scribe, saying, I found this book. And Shaphan goes and brings a report to Josiah the king. And he says, everything that you've asked us to do is being done. The repairs are underway. The money has been brought out and given to the workmen. And we've paid for the materials and all those sorts of things. And by the way, I found this book. And he begins to read from it. And the king hears the words. And he realizes, oh, this is God's word. It was lost, and we didn't even know it was lost. And it says he tore his clothes as a sign of deep grief. They had lost the book of the law that had been given to Moses and had been handed down successively through the generations. Now it had been found. The rest of the story is simply this. I won't spend all my time on it today, but they repented, they rejoiced, and then they made a whole lot of changes in Jerusalem, all because the book of the law had been found. And while it may be tempting to look down on Israel for losing God's written word, right? I mean, it's easy to point the finger. How could they do that? We need to remember that the church hasn't always been that faithful with God's word either. We could talk of how it became lost during the Middle Ages, whereby its authority was suppressed and it was actually replaced by the traditions of the Catholic Church and its popes and its councils, where it was kept in darkness by the Catholic Church and only those who were able to read and understand Latin could search the depths of God's word. It was a very dark time for Christianity. Yet we know that through Martin Luther and the Reformation, that the authority of Scripture was recovered. It was translated into modern languages, and sola scriptura became the battle cry of a revival that swept through Europe and is still being felt today. Amen. Praise God for the recovery of the authority of God's word. And we shouldn't overlook in this history, we shouldn't overlook the condition of God's word in modern times, because this is us. We're responsible. In much the same way as the Hebrews in the 21st century, we have lost this book also. And in much the same way, I'm not so sure if we have even realized yet that it's been lost. And also in much the same way as the church in the Middle Ages, we find that the authority of God's word has been largely ignored. But unlike those seasons of neglect concerning the word of God, in modern times we have our own unique failure regarding our responsibility to keep God's word. And it's the failure that involves an attitude of indifference, where we just don't simply seem to care about this book. What we have in the 21st century, from what I see regarding God's word, is apathy, disinterest, unconcern. There's a certain coolness that has settled into the church among God's people regarding the word of God. And it just amazes me because never in the history of the world has God's word been so easily available, so readily accessible, yet remains so deeply neglected. We find ourselves turning to other books that teach human philosophy and business models of leadership to guide the church instead of seeking the wisdom that's held in Scripture. We allow our children to be taught by video games and YouTube instead of teaching them directly from the Word of God. We spend hours a week on social media informing the world with our opinions instead of informing the world according to Scripture. And we tolerate pastors and seminaries that teach that the Word of God isn't really the Word of God instead of labeling those to be heretics. Which is what that is. And all of this, in my strong opinion, points back to the root issue. Do we even care about this book? Do we even care? We need a revival. Amen? We need a revival. We need a revival for the love of the Word of God. And so to this end, I believe the Lord would have us turn this morning to Psalm 119. As we close out our time together today. Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm. It's in its structure, it is by far the longest of any of the psalms, coming in at 176 verses. These 176 verses are organized into 22 sections, each section containing 8 verses. And interestingly, furthermore, the structure of these 22 sections creates, in the original Hebrew language in which it was written, an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. Acrostic, you know, right? It's where you just take the first letter of a word and you use it to form another word that has some kind of significance. Or, in the case of Psalm 119, it forms the first letter of each verse of each section. Forms to make the Hebrew alphabet. Let me just show you. Turn to your Bible. You got your Bibles, or maybe grab one in the back of the pew. Turn to Psalm 119. It's easier to show you than maybe to verbalize it. So you find in Psalm 119, the first 8 verses are under the heading of Aleph. Ava, you might pull that up on the screen. So if you'll find it, at the heading there is a little word, Aleph, and it might even have this symbol, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Looks like that on the screen behind me. So all of the verses in this section, these first 8 verses, begin with a word in Hebrew that starts with Aleph, which, as I said, is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then the next section, verses 9 through 16, are under the heading of Beit. This means that in Hebrew, all of these verses in this section begin with a word that starts with the letter Beit, which is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so on and so forth for all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's very unique in that sense. Very neat structure and organization. But its content is really what we're after this morning. Because not only is its structure incredibly unique, incredibly beautiful, really, the content is even more remarkable. Each of these 22 sections is a self-contained thought, meaning that each section can be read outside of the context of the rest of the psalm, but at the same time, the overarching theme that serves as the glue binding them together is the greatness of the Word of God. This psalm is all about the greatness of God's word. 176 verses. I love it. And it is described, God's word, described in such ways as this. For example, God's word is God's loving kindness. God's word is God's comfort in affliction. God's word is God's path of purity for the young person. God's word is God's revival when we are cleaving to the dust. God's word is God's salvation from the wicked. God's word is God's salvation for the wicked. God's word is God's path of righteousness. God's word is God's statutes for discernment and knowledge. God's word is God's commandment of rebuke to the arrogant. God's word is God's testimony of blessings. God's word is God's ordinance of faithfulness. And God's word is God's counsel for our delight. Oh, God's word is to be a delight to our lives and our soul. Amen? And those are just a few of the ways that Psalm 119 describes God's word. A very, very rich psalm. And the point is just simply this, I guess. For the church, in this season especially, this psalm is critically important for us. It's 5 pages in my Bible, containing, as I said, 176 verses about the greatness of the Word of God. And in closing this morning, I just want to read it to you. I want to share it with you. You can sit there with eyes closed. You can read along in your Bible. But I want to read it. And I want God to touch your heart and mind this morning. And as we go, there will be 2 objectives. First, hopefully, prayerfully, a stirring of hearts that will be awakened and renewed in its affections for the Word of God. And secondly, and maybe less significantly, is a lesson in grammar as we learn the Hebrew alphabet this morning. So may these words penetrate our hearts and minds. Amen. Please listen. Aleph. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Bait, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Gimel, verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander away from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Dalit, verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Hey, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. Wow, verse 41. May your loving kindnesses also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Zion, verse 49. Remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and I comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. Chet, verse 457. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Tet, verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Yod, verse 73. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. O, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word to your servant. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. Kaf, verse 81. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word, while I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth, but as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Lamed, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Mem, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Noon, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. Samech, verse 113. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Ion, verse 121. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. Pay, verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish your footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. Tsade, verse 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Koph, verse 145. I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, and revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Resh, verse 153. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Shin, verse 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Tau, verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word because it causes us to have reverence for you. God, I pray, revive us. Wake us up. Renew us. Give us a fresh love for your word, a fresh hatred for falsehood. God, we are like sheep that have gone astray. Therefore, Lord, we ask for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.